is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.
Hello, you're listening to DNA Today, a genetics podcast and radio show. I'm your host, Kira Dineen. DNA Today informs you on what's happening in the genetic world. During my broadcast here, I educate you, the public, on genetic and health topics through news and interviews. Guests include genetic counselors, researchers, doctors, patient advocates, professors, and many more. My guests today are Naheed Turin and Alyssa Resch. They are from the Coriell Institute for Medical Research in Camden, New Jersey. Alyssa is Coriell's chief scientific officer, and Naheed is Coriell's chief laboratory officer, and they lead separate aspects of the Institute's scientific efforts. Little background information. Coriell is known for its impact in the world of biobanking. If you've ordered biological materials in the past for research, there's a really good chance you've ordered from them before. It has 65 years of history in this, and they've partnered with many federal, private, nonprofit organizations. They offer expertise in the collection, processing, storage, and distribution of these biological materials. And in the process, they've built one of the most diverse and important collections of biomaterials in the world. It's because of their collection that endeavors like the Human Genome Project were possible, and that science of personalized medicine thrives today. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. I'm really excited to learn more about biobanking.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you, Kira. It's great to be here.
For those that don't know, can you explain what biobanking actually is? I talked about it a little bit, but I'd like to hear your elevator pitch of when people are like, what do you do? What is biobanking?
All right. I'll start then, Kira. So biobanking, as you mentioned, it can involve the collection, processing, storage, and distribution of biological materials for scientists around the world for many purposes, including biomedical research. So if you think about it, in order for a scientist to really understand underlying biology or a disease or understand genetic differences amongst individuals, they really need to have access to certain samples in order to do their research. Institutes like the Coriell Institute have really spent decades trying to build resources for the scientific community, especially the genetics community. And so we make samples like DNA and cell lines for the research community. Now, if you think of scientists trying to study a disease, they could be spending years trying to find those disease populations, recruit them, collect samples, etc. It's really not the purpose of their research. So institutes like ourselves really make this resource available for them. We have really famous special collections in-house, and they are readily available to scientists around the world and also affordably available in order to really facilitate their research. There's a real science behind biobanking, and Coriell is an expert in this field. We've been doing it for over six decades now. And nowadays, it's really becoming more and more important. And people are really recognizing the role biobanks have in ensuring that good research happens. And so there's a real science behind ensuring the quality of the samples that we distribute to the community. So we really make sure that reliable science can take place in a quick manner, because otherwise they're spending years trying to find these samples themselves.
And when people think of scientific research, this is an aspect that may not occur to them right away of where are scientists getting their samples? How do they know the validity of those samples, of where they came from? And you have such a role in providing this to the community of not just in, you know, the New Jersey, Connecticut, New York area, but sounds like worldwide for being a leader in the industry.
That's correct. Yes, we do distribute samples around the world, and such diverse collections, they've been used for all kinds of research. And really where we are today in precision medicine is kudos to biobanks like Coriell for making those samples available and ensuring that people are working with the best starting material in their research efforts.
You have a lot of different types of samples. What are some of these? Can you give us an idea of what you have in the bank?
Sure, Kira. This is Alyssa speaking. We store many different types of samples. So just to give you, you know, a short list, we have blood, tissue, cells, DNA, RNA, saliva, plasmids, antibodies, in a variety of biomarker sample types, which could include plasma, serum, cerebrospinal fluid. But the vast majority of the samples we distribute to the genomics community are really either cell lines or DNA. And so one of the reasons that DNA samples are in demand is because of the popularity of next generation sequencing. Other sample types that are really popular right now include induced pluripotent stem cells, or iPSCs. For those not familiar, iPSCs are adult stem cells that start usually as skin or blood cells and are reprogrammed into pluripotent stem cells that can differentiate into different cell types. One of the reasons that iPSCs are valuable research tools is that they can be used for drug discovery and the development of novel therapeutics. And this is where scientists are basically using these as tools to develop new treatments for disease. So we work closely with many groups to onboard these collections and make them publicly available. And as Naheed mentioned, one of the things that we're known for is the quality and diversity of the samples that we distribute.
It sounds like you have a lot of samples. I mean, how many are we talking that you have in your biobank?
Well, we have millions of samples.
Millions?
Actually.
Yes. That's mind-boggling.
It is. Exactly. We would be hoarders in other places.
Yes, but here hoarding is a great thing.
Yes, it's a very good thing here. And we have them at multiple locations, so we do have millions of samples, but in order to do good biobanking, you also have to have redundancy so that if anything were to happen, these samples aren't compromised. So we do have other facilities in other locations as backup storage, safe storage, we call it. And that's basically if God forbid there was a catastrophic event, that these precious samples that might have taken decades to collect are not compromised all in one kind of bucket. So we can go back to them elsewhere and still have the collections.
And of these, you know, million samples that we're talking about, are they all human or do you also have samples from other species?
The large majority of our samples, you know, are collected from human donors. However, we do have cell line and DNA samples from many species, including non-human primates and other vertebrates. So just to give you an example of some of those species, we have chimpanzee, macaca, a variety of monkey species. We have samples from mouse, samples from horse, dog, rabbit, hamster, just to name a few additional species. And the animal and cell line, or the animal cell lines and DNA samples we distribute, you know, are very useful specimens for research in the animal research community who don't need to have animals in their laboratory. And so that's a nice tool to offer people who are doing animal research.
Makes sense of some places not being able to have possibly a horse in their laboratory, but to be able to have horse cells come to their laboratory to research makes
exactly.
It a little bit easier than having a stable right outside. How many different diseases are represented, and also other models that represent something else that I'm not thinking of?
There are over, you know, 1,000 easily diseases and disorders represented in Coriell's biobank. We're the stewards of multiple collections that are sponsored through federal and private agencies. And those collections are mostly focused on a variety of disorders that include rare genetic diseases, for example, chromosomal abnormalities. This is where you would have insertions, deletions, or rearrangements, you know, in chromosomes. There are many neurological disorders like Alzheimer's and Parkinsonism represented in the collection. We also have age-related diseases like progeria, which is basically advanced aging, you know, in young people. There are eye disorders like age-related macular degeneration or cataract. And then we just have tons of other diseases that are included, in the collection. One important thing to point out is that these samples are collected from men, women, and children from different age groups and from different ethnicities. And there's a real emphasis right now on making sure that all groups are equally representative when we're conducting disease research. A subset of this collection also includes samples from apparently healthy individuals who have not been diagnosed with a disorder.
And if there's a disease that you don't have represented, what's your approach to finding someone to donate a sample? Do you get in contact with, say, an organization? How does that process work?
So we actually have a number of collections, Kira, that are actively recruiting new samples. And we work closely with the community. So not only do we work with the scientists and clinicians in that disease, but we also have relationships with the foundations and advocacy groups. And in some cases, we're working directly with donors and families themselves, the patients or donors. And so we really have a network, and our teams are expert at doing this. So we have avenues for interacting with these different groups and parties and channels. We have content at both the scientific level, but also, you know, when we're dealing with young donors, for example. So we do have a kind of collaboration within the community to onboard new samples.
And I'd imagine that they would be very interested in being part of this because, say, they have a rare disease, they are helping research by giving samples so that scientists can be looking at them and seeing how we can start approaching new treatments and cures.
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, half of our job is also just educating how valuable this resource is and what a contribution it would be to be donating a sample to this kind of resource. And so we make it really simple. We've got a lot of educational content. We have a lot of easy content about how to submit to some of these collections on our online catalog. And we also have brochures. We make content available. We travel. We visit a lot of different family meetings, foundation meetings, etc. And so we're interacting with the lay public very often, as well as clinicians and consortia, bigger groups that might be collecting a lot more samples for a certain disease because it's part of a big federal grant or something like that. So that we use many different avenues to really try and get more samples into the collection. And the goal is really to make these resources available and facilitate research and discovery.
And once you have these samples, how can researchers access your biobank and request certain samples?
Well, we have an online presence, so a good portion of our collection is publicly available, and so we've got a great online catalog that scientists can go onto and basically plug in the samples they're interested in. So if they're interested in Down syndrome or something like that, they can look. It's actually a very sophisticated search tool, but they can go in and mine our online collection for different sample types, tissue types, disease types, etc. And we've got a checkout process. It's a bit like Amazon or Walmart. You could literally create your own account and put things in your bucket. And there is a little bit more paperwork involved because some of these collections have certain rules and regulations by which a scientist must abide by. But it's literally an online kind of catalog where they go in and put things in their shopping cart, check out. They do have to be a legitimate researcher, but they can do that all online.
So it's the online version for scientists to do their online shopping. So kind of
exactly.
Interesting to order, you know, say a mouse model for dementia or something online. But that's where we're headed these days and where biobanking is. How do you then properly ship the samples to ensure that the cells or tissue type or whatever it is going to survive that shipment?
Well, we've been doing this for decades. And
yeah, you've got it down.
Exactly. I think we've got it down. But it is a science. You're very right in that, you know, you need to make sure that not only are they getting the best material, but that they get it safely as well. And at Coriel, we're distributing globally around the world. So we work with a lot of different couriers. We send our samples out in different forms. So we could be selling, for example, a live flask of cells or a frozen stem cell aliquot sample. or DNA in different formats, in plates or tubes. And so there are different ways to ship these samples. And so we kind of know what the best ways are. There are guidelines as well for biobanks by which to operate for best practices. And so we follow a lot of those rules. And in some cases, we've developed those rules. And we make sure that scientists get them in the best way. We also have a great customer support department because you have to ship these things to different countries. So there's a lot of logistics involved with people's different holiday schedules, the different immigration or customs requirements. And so there's a lot of other information behind the scenes that needs to be in place to ensure that samples get to people around the world safely and intact.
It's very impressive that you're able to send a sample, you know, across the world and it gets there and they can start using it for research. It's a very cool thing that we're able to do. What organizations and institutions, projects have you supplied samples to? Anything that stands out in terms of the research that's come out of these samples?
Samples from Coriell are available, you know, to every researcher who's basically doing, you know, qualified research. So we're sending samples to folks in academia, the nonprofit sector, government and commercial organizations. And as Naheed mentioned, we're sending these samples to folks around the world. And we're actually distributing to over 85 countries right now. So many people are using these samples. But to give you an idea, you know, about some of the work that we've done and that we're really proud of, you know, we've helped build and manage some famous collections that are right now providing really valuable resources to the research community. So I'll just name a few of those. One of the most famous projects that we've been involved with is the Thousand Genomes Project. So this is a project that was sponsored by the National Human Genome Research Institute, and it contains cell lines and DNA samples that were collected from individuals from, you know, 26 geographically distinct human populations around the world. The samples are highly sequenced, and the sequence data is publicly available to researchers. So this is a really nice aspect of this collection. You have sequence data plus the companion cell lines and DNA. And this collection is really important for studying human variation. Another really impactful study is called the Bench to Bassinet program. So this was launched by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. And it's basically a study that's designed to improve outcomes for individuals with congenital heart disease. But the study also supports the needs of the pediatric research community, and it's going to help us understand, you know, how the heart develops and why some children are born with heart problems. A really cool collection that we recently onboarded is called the Allen Cell Collection. And this is sponsored by the Allen Institute. So people probably recognize the Allen Institute because Paul Allen, one of the co-founders of Microsoft, was instrumental in getting this institute going. And one of the collections that, you know, we're distributing now that's really popular contains a collection of iPSCs, these induced pluripotent stem cells, that contain these GFP fluorescent tags that were engineered using CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing. And these cell lines enable scientists to use live cell imaging to study the structure and organization of cells. So these are a few examples of some projects that we've been involved with that I think are very impactful, you know, to the scientific research community.
And those are very major projects. I remember, I don't know when it was, but many episodes ago, talking about the Thousand Genome Project and how that was starting and everything. And to hear that you're a part of that is very impressive and interesting. How does a sample get approved to be a part of your biobank? What's the process? Can anyone bank a sample there, or does it go through this approval process?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is an approval process. So we've got a number of different collections that might be actively recruiting. And I mean, to answer your question, yes, anyone can bank a sample, but some collections are funded through different agencies, and so they do have some requirements. But in general, for example, we have one collection for rare diseases, and so we have an online presence where anyone who wants to submit a sample can do so. They just need to have a diagnosis, but then we would love to have samples from them and their family members. And so we do have avenues for collecting samples in a continuous fashion, especially for some of the collections there. Their goal might be slightly different with what they're targeting, but there are avenues there.
So if someone's listening and has a specific diagnosis and they think that their sample could be of use for scientists, they can contact you guys and see if that would be of interest.
Yes, definitely. We have one collection which is sponsored through the National Institute of General Medical Sciences. It's called the NIGMS Human Genetic Cell Repository. We're constantly collecting samples for that collection. So if anyone has a genetic inherited disorder, they can just go to nigms@coriol.org, and there's a lot of instructions there and videos, etc., by which they can request a collection kit, collect a sample of blood, say, and send it to us to be part of this resource.
And we'll include the link that you just mentioned in the show notes for today's episode so people can access that. I'm very curious of how the overall process of biobanking works. I'm hearing that there's four steps of the collection, processing, distribution, and cryogenic preservation. Can you take me through of once you get this sample, what happens from there?
Yes, of course. So in some cases, like I said, we're actually helping to bring the sample in. So there's that aspect as well. And we have our own institutional review board. So we have consent forms, et cetera. So we can help recruit samples. But yes, once you get the sample in, then it enters this really stringent pipeline. So every sample that arrives at Coriol is de-identified. We put it into our system and we give it a unique identifier, because in a biobank, it's very important to preserve the privacy of our donors. And so we de-identify everything, and then it enters our repository management system. So it's like a laboratory management system where we track everything that happens to that sample from that time onwards. And so these samples can then go through our labs. So we have different types of labs, like our cell culture lab, molecular biology lab, cytogenomics lab, our stem cell lab, or our sequencing lab. So they go through this pipeline. And ultimately what happens is we create a batch of some type of biospecimen, and then that is stored. So we have a big biobanking logistics team, which includes people in our shipping department who are maybe shipping out the kits or the samples to the end users. They could be storing the samples in our different storage units. So we have samples stored in minus 80 freezers, in liquid nitrogen vapor, or huge liquid nitrogen tanks. And they're stored not only in this facility, but in our off-site safe storage facilities. The samples can be pulled from these storage units for shipping purposes to send them out to the scientists around the world. But also within the pipeline, they go through a lot of stringent quality control tests. So Coriol is recognized around the world as having some of the best quality materials. And we make sure that there are no mix-ups, that what we provide, the DNA or the cell lines we provide, are of the best quality. And so we do a lot of different internal tests to make sure that we are giving samples of the highest quality to the end users.
An important point that you mentioned was that you de-identify samples of mm-hmm. so that people know if they're submitting something, they're not going to be revealed later of, oh, we worked on your sample about this, and that's public information. That's not something that happens because you de-identify them.
Yes, that's right. The question about de-identification, is so critically important, because donor privacy is a really important issue. And this is a great question, and one that we hear a lot from sample donors. So as Naheed mentioned, the samples in our collection are de-identified, meaning that the donor's name and any identifying information is stripped from the sample the moment it enters our facility. And so once these samples are anonymized and de-identified, they're accessioned into the biobank and given new sample IDs.
And I'd like to end the show with hearing a little bit more about how you're involved with personalized medicine research. This is such a groundbreaking area that is happening really so quickly. Can you share a little bit about your involvement there?
Sure. And Nahid can probably chime in here as well. So Coriell has been conducting personalized medicine research for over 10 years. You know, a very famous study that we initiated is called the Coriell Personalized Medicine Collaborative, or CPMC for short. The idea behind this project is that we enroll research participants who consent to having their DNA samples analyzed as part of a pharmacogenomics study. So their DNA samples are genotyped, and the results of the analysis are summarized in these reports that are then shared with the participants. A major goal of the study is to actively engage these participants by encouraging them to complete questionnaires that are focused on their lifestyle, their health, and their family medical history. And so the data that's collected for the study is used to determine how these participants digest the genetic information they receive in their reports, and whether that information informs the downstream decisions they make, you know, about their lifestyle. Another really interesting project that we are launching is a project in the state of New Jersey to study the genetic and non-genetic factors associated with opioid use disorder. And this is another example of a personalized medicine project, you know, that's happening at Coriell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and tagging on to what Alyssa said, I mean, we have some really big projects here where we have been actively involved in really setting the scene for how precision medicine should be done. So the CPMC project and the opioid project are examples of that. But again, biobanks like Coriell have really allowed precision medicine to happen. So having the samples that we have made available to the research community over the decades has really allowed for people to understand the human genome, to really understand genetics, and then enable the uses of genetics for precision medicine. And so, you know, just coming back to what we were talking about earlier, the samples in our repository are precious, not only for understanding human variation, disease, biological processes, but they're also used for, bigger studies like the Opioid Project, et cetera, where we can really look at more complex disorders and see if there's a genetic underpinning for those disorders, where we can maybe use them for therapeutics with how people respond to different drugs, et cetera.
I'm so glad to hear that you're involved with the opioid epidemic, because it really is an epidemic that I don't think is getting enough attention. And it's so great to hear that you're involved with that and making a change there, and the ripple effect of what one biobank, and I know you have a couple locations, but one biobank has on research all over the world, that taking that step back and looking at it is very impressive. So thank you so much for sharing this on the show today. Really appreciate hearing about this, and it's very interesting.
Thank you so much. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to tell you about the work that we're doing at Coriell and the work that we're doing with the Camden Opioid Research Initiative, which is a project that you'll be hearing about, you know, a lot more in the future.
Yes, thank you, Kira. It was our pleasure. I think we enjoy what we do incredibly, and it's lovely to be able to share that with the community.
It is. I'm jealous of your jobs. They sound very interesting.
It is. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and there are so many jobs in science, and I think the roles you have are ones that people may not think of when they think of science. So for those that want to learn more, you can go to coriell.org, also on Twitter at coriell_science. And to access the links we mentioned today in the episode, you can go to dnapodcast.com. All the links will be there, along with the other episodes that I have about genetics. Also, I'm on Twitter at DNA Podcasts and Instagram at DNA Radio. Any questions that you have about today's episode, you can send to info@dnapodcast.com, and I can forward on the questions that are beyond my knowledge. So thanks for listening, guys, and join me next time to learn and discover new advances in the world of genetics.
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me are all made.
made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.